Take your Bibles this evening, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 16. Shall we pray? Under gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this privilege that we have to assemble back together in the house this evening. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as we look into thy word and this portion of thy word, that you would teach us, that you would instruct us, and give us understanding into thy word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 16. And we, the last couple of weeks, been on verses 6 and 7. And when I passed by thee, God speaking to Jerusalem, after giving their deplorable and despicable beginnings. They were naked and destitute. He said, "When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare." Tonight, we will be looking at verse 8. It will be, not tonight, but jumping over verse 7, jump to verse 8, going back to verse 7, back to verse 8, in the course of our thoughts. At least I think that's the way it'll be right now. But in verse 8, this is the verse that we'll be looking at this evening. "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God. And thou becamest mine." Verse 6, as we've had been looking at that, he saw them in that condition. When he passed over, he saw them in their condition, in their blood, about to die, and he said, "Live." He said, "Live." What blessed thoughts that is, to have the sovereign God, the creator God, the God of heaven and earth, say to you, "Live. Live." I remember the day he said to me, "Live." Talks about, in the book of John, talks about us coming unto Christ, talks about us hearing and believing, and says, "He that heareth and believeth my words hath everlasting life." Brother Francis loved that. I love that. No delay. Right now, he said, "Live." And right now, you have everlasting life. You have eternal life. What a blessed thing that is to have God say to one who is wicked and vile, no particular beginnings other than wickedness and evil, not deserving of His love, not deserving of His grace, not deserving of His mercy, have Him to say to you, live. And Him saying to you, live, He's extended to you His grace. He's extended to you His mercy. He's manifested His love unto us. And so the point tonight, as we begin to look at verse 8, is He looked upon her with kindness. He looked upon her with love and kindness, with compassion. He set His love upon them. He said, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold thy time. Now. Now was the time for the manifestation of my love for you. Nothing lovely in Jerusalem, as there was nothing lovely in me. Nothing that He would have seen in me, nothing that He would have seen in her, for Him to set His love upon her and to say, live. But simply because He was pleased to love her. Nothing special in her at all. We went over and we looked at those despicable and deplorable condition that she was in. How unlovely she was. She was as an infant that was not wanted and was cast out. Nothing lovely whatsoever in them at all. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32. And look with me here at verse 9. And we read, for the Lord's portion is His people. Talking to Israelites just before going into the promised land. All those that were above the age of 20 had died in the wilderness. All that's left is those that were 20 and under. And now they're become middle-aged and older men. And he said, for the Lord's portion is His people. Talking about Israel here. Jacob. He defines that. Jacob. It's Israel. It's Jacob. The people of Jacob. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. Jacob is His people. Jacob is His part. His particular people that He's talking about here. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him. Notice where He found him. He found him in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. Now, as you think about Jacob, what was special in Jacob? Was there anything special in Jacob? Well, his very name means supplanter, deceiver. And that's who Jacob was. Jacob was a deceiver. I mean, he came forth from the womb trying to deceive and supplant his brother, Jacob. Nothing special in Jacob. But the Lord, his God, viewed him as the apple of his eye. And of course, we're talking about not only Jacob, but we're talking about his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Anything special in any of them? I mean, we might be able to make a case for Joseph, right? In Joseph's offspring, which Joseph didn't have an inheritance in the land, only in Ephraim and Manasseh did he have inheritance in the land. Anything special in the other sons that we could see? Nothing at all. I mean, they hated their brother Joseph. I mean, they despised him. How much did they despise him? Enough so that they plotted to kill him. And then they lobbied, was it Judah that lobbied against killing him? And so they decided, here come some Ishmaelites. We'll sell him to them. And they sold him. And he ended up in Egypt. We know the story concerning Joseph. Nothing special in those sons of Jacob. But yet, to God, to the Lord, it was the apple of his eye. His eye was upon them. But notice in verse 10, I want you to notice. Excuse me. He found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. We've talked about this before and have told you in the beginning of the study that the wilderness was Egypt, like unto Egypt. There are those that make case that the wilderness was the wilderness, the Arabian wilderness, where they spent their 40 years wandering. There are others that say, no, it was Egypt. Scripture tells us that it was Egypt where he found them. Go with me back to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 20, and it'll be a while before we get there. So Ezekiel chapter 20 and in verse 36. Ezekiel 20 and verse 36. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. Where was the wilderness? Where was the wilderness that he found? Where was the wilderness that he came unto them and pleaded with their fathers? It was the land of Egypt. It was that wilderness. I want you to note something else that is particular blessing. Still holds true today. And thank God that for many, many years it was true of the United States of America. But Psalms chapter 33. And look with me here at verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Israel's God was the Lord. She went away from him, but Israel's God was the Lord. For many years, the case could be made that the God of the United States of America was the Lord, was Jehovah. I mean, its beginnings, its foundings was upon the Word of God. Our laws and judicial system was set up on "Thus saith the Lord." It was taken right from the Word of God. So blessed, happy is that nation whose God is the Lord. And I believe that for many, many years, God blessed this nation because of the God-fearing men that were in this nation, because the ones who orchestrated the Constitution and in the beginnings of this country and set these things up were, by and large, God-fearing men. Thank God for that. Thank God this nation is still a blessed nation. Now, you know my feelings on that. I don't know how much longer. I think we see things eroding away, and we see God withdrawing his hand from this nation. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime when he completely withdraws his hand from this nation. But I believe it's coming soon. Very soon. And some of the things that we see transpiring and the things that we see happening, we as a nation have asked for it. We as a nation have turned our back upon God's people in this nation. Many, many, the large percentage have turned their back on the Lord and follow their own paths and their own dictates. But blessed is the nations whose God is the Lord, whose God is Jehovah, whose God is the Creator God, the Sovereign God of heaven and earth, who does as He pleases in heaven and earth. And they worship Him, and they honor Him. They honor Him by being obedient to His commands and doing His bidding. And the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Oh, listen. The nation may not prosper as God is a God-fearing nation. And we see that we see there are men in government that fear God anymore. But God has a chosen people in this country, and we are blessed of the Lord. And we don't have to fear what goes on in Washington. We don't have to fear what goes on in Tallahassee. We don't have to fear what goes on in Melbourne. Because the Lord, He's our God. He's our keeper. He's our protector. He's the one who watches over us. And we have the assurance that He will keep us. It's His promise to us. It was the kindness and love of God, our Savior, that sent Christ to redeem us. Turn with me to the book of John. The book of John. And you all ought to be able to quote this verse. I mean, there are unsaved folks all over this country that can quote this verse. Don't know what it means, but they quote it. It's a verse that you learn as if you attend 10 church, if you attend Sunday school, you learn it as a little child. It's a verse that the church attending parents teach to their little children in their home. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he sent his Son to die. For whosoever believes. And who will believe? Who are the whosoever that will believe? Those that will believe are those that were ordained unto eternal life. Acts chapter 13, verse 48 tells us that. Turn with me now to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 5. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Romans 5:8 tells us the extent of that love. But God commendeth. God sent, God showed us his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knew I was a sinner, but he loved me anyhow. That didn't deter his love. Because he loved me and he knew I was a sinner, he purposed my salvation. He chose me unto salvation. He chose me to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. Thank God. He chose me. Thank God he destinated me to be conformed to the image of his Son. He ordained me unto eternal life. And because he ordained me unto eternal life, in the time of love, in the time of love, I believed. I believed, repented of my sins, and trusted in him as my Lord and Savior. Turn with me to the book of Titus. The book of Titus in chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and look with me here, beginning with verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, that's what we're talking about tonight. I mean, when he passed by Jerusalem, when he passed by Israel, behold, it was the time of love. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He said, love. And that was a manifestation of his love in that he showed us that he sent his son, his only son, to die for my sin, to pay my sin debt, so that I might live. He did this for Jerusalem. He did this for me. Turn with me back to the book of 1 John. 1 John in chapter 4. Verse 9. In this that we're about to read, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. The manifestation of God's love. The manifestation of it is to those that believe. God manifested his love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. I was unlovable. I didn't love him. But he loved me. And because he loved me, in time he manifested that love to me. It was the kindness and love of God that sent the Spirit to bring us from condemnation, to bring us unto God. Look with me back at the book of John in chapter 6. John in chapter 6. A lot of verses in this chapter. But we want verse 63, where Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Listen, there are many, many folks today think that this flesh will profit them something. They think that through this flesh they can do something to inherit eternal life. But Jesus said, "Flesh profiteth nothing. It's of no value whatsoever. It won't avail you anything. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that makes alive." Same thing he says in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter 2. In verse 1, "And you have he quickened," God, by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. We just read it in verse 63, John chapter 6. "It's the Spirit of God that quickeneth, and you hath he quickened." Here's the condition of the flesh, who were dead in trespasses and sins. How can that which is dead in trespasses and sins do anything? Can't do anything. merit salvation. It's dead in trespasses and in sins. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 again shows us that it's the Spirit talking about being born again here. And Nicodemus not comprehending it. Nicodemus not coming to an understanding of it. And Jesus said in verse 8, he said, the wind blows where it listeth, where it will, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of Spirit. It is the Spirit that borns you again. It is the Spirit that gives you life. And you can't see the Spirit coming. You can't see the Spirit going, but you can see the effects of it, just like you can see the effects of the wind blowing out here. You can see the effects of where the Holy Spirit has been and the work that He has done. It is the Spirit. God sent His Spirit to bring us from condemnation. Admit Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. In verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. How did He do that? We just told you that by looking at the Spirit and the working of the Spirit in quickening and alive. He translated us from the world of darkness. He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God made us awake unto that, made us aware of that great fact. Praise God. God did it for me. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. You want to be out from under condemnation? Here's the answer. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's the evidence that the Spirit of God has done a work. We talked about it back there in John chapter 3 in verse 8. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind blowing on objects and things. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the effects of the Holy Spirit having worked. How's that? Well, He said, walk not after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit of God's leading. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's the indication that we're following the leading of the Holy Spirit when we look to the Word of God, and we do what the Word of God tells us to do. Well, I guess we better quit there tonight.